Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection with host Janine Davis. Today's guest is Dr. Rob Randall, author of The Invisible War.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection. This morning, we have our special guest, Dr. Rob Randall, and he is going to be talking about The Invisible War. This is part two. Last week was part one series. And good morning, Dr. Rob Randall.
Good morning, sister. How are you today?
I'm great. I want to tell our audience a little bit about you. Dr. Randall is a third-generation evangelist. For over a quarter of a century, he has been at the forefront of the spiritual battle within the church. Through area-wide crusades, conferences, and local church revivals, Dr. Randall has held over 700 gospel meetings, presenting the claims of Christ upon the lives of men, women, boys, and girls, and young people. He holds the BA, the Masters of Divinity, and PhD degrees from Baylor University, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Louisiana Baptist University. Dr. Randall's book, The Invisible War and Lies That Kill, are being widely used within the church to bring spiritual healing and cleansing to many.
Bless your heart. I feel tired already just listening to all that.
And I'm sure there's much more than that. We hear terms like possession, oppression, and demonization. What do you believe concerning the Christian's relationship to these terms?
You know, we in the church seem to run to the quickest place of comfort. We have a tendency to use the definitions that assume some things that the Bible just doesn't say. I believe we do this so we won't have to deal with these supernatural matters. You know, in the invisible war, the only thing we have to fear is our ignorance. And there's a lot of that going on.
Amen.
Around.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Hallelujah.
I believe it's best to go to the scriptures to get our definitions. I spoke to a very prominent pastor in our area.
Okay.
Who, one of the great men of God, if I mentioned his name, many of your listeners would know it.
Okay.
And I asked him if we could bring this work into his church, to which he said, "I did that before and we got bit. We got hurt." To which I replied, "Pastor, you cannot allow the enemy to define the work."
Okay, Dr. Randall, can you please explain what he meant about they got hurt?
Well, I could go into details, but basically, the enemy just began to bring confusion into the church and division into the church and all kinds of matters in the church when they began to offer deliverance, the ministry of deliverance.
Okay.
And
okay.
What I told him was is simply this: do not allow yourself to get the working definitions from the enemy.
Exactly.
If we only get it from the enemy, we'll never go where we need to go. We need to get our truth, our working definitions of spiritual warfare from the Bible, from the Word of God. We do not run away just because of fear. Now, obviously, whenever you speak of the word deliverance or our spiritual warfare, the spirit of fear jumps in the middle.
Yes, of
always.
Course.
Always. Mm-hmm. But I want to remind all of our listeners today that the fear is not just an emotion. It's a spirit. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear,
amen,
but of power,
love,
and of love,
and a sound mind.
And of a sound mind.
Amen.
So it is important that we go to the scriptures to get our definitions. The word used in the original language is diamazomai. Now, what it means is simply this. It has nothing to do with the word, how it has been translated in English, possession. You see, if I possess something, I own it. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about in the spiritual realm. We're not talking about ownership.
Okay.
We're talking about an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Diamonzomai means this: one who has or had a demon.
Okay.
That's all it means.
Okay.
Whether it's inside or outside, whether it's in your arm or your ear, only time and the Lord can reveal that. The issue is not where it is. The issue is, is it?
Okay, can you clarify for the listeners who didn't listen last week, can a Christian have a demon?
Christians can have demons. Now, they can't be possessed or owned by demons. No, but they can have a demonic assignment. In fact, the believer is Satan's target. He already owns the world. He's the God of this world for a short season.
Yes.
He's on a short lease. We understand that. His time will soon be over, his evil rule. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. But hear me. The church is the only person, the body of Christ is the only one who can give him great harm. So he's after the church. The believer is his target. His goal is to make us ineffective, powerless. He causes us to be confused and impudent and to the place of where we cannot bring him any damage.
Right. Absolutely. So and, Dr. Randall, even to the point where we don't acknowledge that we need to go through deliverance or these things are happening, and if you don't acknowledge him, you won't do anything about it.
He's done a work on us, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
He's done an amazing work.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is, there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. You'll hear me say that several times today, but it is essential, essential. Notice here. Every warning concerning the attack of the enemy is written to the church. Why is it written to the church if the church is exempt? That's foolishness. We are the target.
Look at our
children. Our children are getting eaten up. The believers' children are getting eaten up today. They are the primary target of the evil one in this hour.
Amen.
Now, whole books have been written on this subject. Let me just refer our listeners. The best book I have read was written by C. Fred Dickinson while chairman of the theology department at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, entitled Demon Possession and the Christian. And I've dedicated a whole chapter in my book on the subject of demons and their relationship to Christians. In the traditional church that I'm a part of, if not stated, it is implied that when you are saved, you are safe. That is not true.
Oh, we know that. All we have to do is look around.
Not true. It is not true. And to hide your head in the sand and stay in these platitudes only gives the enemy an unusual advantage in the invisible war against our lives, against our churches, against our children. It gives him an advantage. We must go to the scriptures for our definitions.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, why do you believe that we seem to have more attention to the reality of spiritual warfare than we used to?
I know the phrase signs of the times has been overused. I know that. But in this case, I believe it is the sign of our Lord's soon coming. Demons have a high view of Scripture. They don't like it, but they know it's true. They know the Bible is true. In fact, they have to obey the Word. Did you know that? Demons have to obey the Word.
Oh, yeah, they have to submit to the authority of the Word.
They have to.
Which is Jesus.
Now, they can only work within the parameters of the Word of God. Now, they know Jesus could come at any moment. In fact, the Bible says, because the devil knows he hath but a short time, he is releasing his fury upon the earth.
Okay, and that's what I was going to say. He knows that his time is short.
That's right.
And that's why it's more chaotic. Like, say, even more, you can just look back at what was going on in the 40s and 50s to present day. In our children, in the schools, in the church, in the workplace, in the homes.
My father went to be with the Lord in 1985. He would not recognize the church today.
Wow.
He wouldn't even recognize it. He would not recognize society today. He built a wonderful church. He was a pastor 16 of his last 20 years in Wichita, Kansas. He was on the front line of the struggle between the whole issue of homosexuality and the church at that time.
Okay.
And he would not even recognize. for him to even consider the thought that a Mormon would be considered as president of the United States, or even someone like Barack Obama would have been elected, he would not have ever believed such a matter. The devil knows he hath but a short time. He is unleashing his fury upon our children, upon our marriages, upon our lives, and upon our churches today.
Okay, now I want to ask you this. There are boundaries, and sometimes, you know, they say the church goes overboard. You know, sometimes they say the church doesn't acknowledge demonic activity, that we need to go through deliverance and the church needs to teach deliverance. On the other opposite end of the spectrum, is it possible for a believer to be too consumed with demons?
Of course, it is possible to be too consumed with demons. And however, I like what C.S. Lewis said on the subject. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence, and the other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors, end mm-hmm. quote. Mm-hmm. Now, let's be honest. Let's just look at it very carefully. We're not looking for a demon under every bush. That's silly. That's ridiculous. But when the enemy came to destroy my son and my family, I had a decision to make. I either had to get up to speed with what the Bible taught and learn to engage in the battle, or to give my children over to the destruction of the enemy. My children were given to my wife and I as a blessing from God, and the enemy was not going to steal my son. That's what thrust me into this, Ronna. I wasn't looking for some kind of a demon ministry and all of that. I was just an evangelist, minding my own business, winning people to Jesus. But this is what I want our listeners to understand today. When they show up, don't ignore it anymore. You don't ignore it. There is a point in which, as Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, you got to take out the sword and drive the Canaanite out of the land. There is that time that we are responsible when we see the work of the enemy, steal, kill, and destroy, we say no more, and we engage in the battle through the victory. The victory. We don't fight toward victory. We fight from victory. We engage the battle through the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Jesus lose.
Amen.
Never.
Amen. Well, you know, for the extreme person, you know, you see a lot of people that commit crimes say, well, the devil told me to do it. I heard voices or whatever. Or even it could be a lay person in the church or whatever that don't want to take responsibility for their own actions. And say, you know, I know it's the devil. I know it's the enemy. And they don't do anything about it. So I think from that point of view, we have to stick in the word of God and do what the word tells mm-hmm. us to do. Regarding that, we acknowledge what the word says about the demonic activity, the principalities. I acknowledge Ephesians 6. But at the same time, we as responsible Christians have to take responsibility and have to do something about it as to change.
Let me ask our listeners. Let me ask all of us. Are you free in Jesus? Are you? I'm not asking you if you're saved. Yes, you have to be saved to know the freedom of Christ. We understand that.
Liberty, yes.
But you can be saved and not free.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you today, are you free to be able to receive all that Holy Spirit has for you right now? Are you? Are you free in Jesus? Are you walking in that freedom? It is possible, but it is through so oftentimes what we call spiritual cleansing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is through deliverance. Mm-hmm. I know that has a charged term to it, but I call it spiritual cleansing. Don't think of deliverance as a one-time prayer meeting. Uh-uh. Think of deliverance as sanctification. It is getting rid of the hindrances The Bible calls the besetting sins that so easily beset us, getting rid of those matters where the enemy hangs on.
Okay. The Holy Spirit put a check in my spirit. Can you give us a scripture? Because many people can define that liberty in Christ different ways. We have to define it by what the word says, that we're free. Can you give us a scripture, Dr. Randall?
Freedom. It was for freedom Christ came to set us free.
Hallelujah.
Okay. And so not only is freedom the goal, but according to that passage, it is the means to the goal.
Okay.
We are free to become free, and we are free to become free to walk in the freedom of Christ. Now, what does that look like? I see it in Matthew 6 when Jesus taught us, "Thy will be done on earth
as it is
in heaven." I want to ask you, is the purposes of heaven, is the purposes of God being accomplished in your home as it is in heaven? Is the presence of the Lord available to your children in your home? I'm not talking about just Sunday morning in the celebration service. That's
right.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the workplace. Is the kingdom of God, the very presence of Almighty God, welcomed in your workplace, welcomed in your school, welcomed in your marriage, in your dating relationship? Are you free enough? I'm not talking about license, just to do whatever. No,
mm-hmm.
no. That's what you're want me to bring forth here, I know. I'm talking about the freedom of Christ, being able to do what God wants us to do. Let me illustrate it this way. I talked to a young man in ministry the other day. He said, "I'm free to drink alcohol. Jesus has freed me to drink alcohol. I'm not bound up by legalism anymore. It's okay in my home to drink alcohol." I said, "Son, that's fine. But are you free not to drink alcohol?"
Amen. That's a good word.
You see, freedom means doing what God wants us to do, whatever that is, however that's defined in your life.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of Christ is the power, the supernatural power of God to do the will of the Father as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you this question, Dr. Randall. What do you think transparency and holiness? The Holy Spirit brought that to me one night as I was praying and just submitting my whole self, my whole person, my whole spirit, my whole will, and being transparent. That means not hiding secrets and not hiding feelings and not hiding things that I needed to be delivered from. And I believe that as a person walks daily with the Lord, and that's what you were talking about, a lifestyle, that it makes you transparent. And that's a step in holiness.
Secrets kill, mm-hmm. and secrets destroy.
Amen.
Psalm 90 tells us that there are no secrets in heaven. You know, I'm reminded of a guest that we had in seminary years ago. Her name was Miss Bertha. She was in the Shantung Revival. She was an old, precious woman, a missionary woman, but she had seen one of the great movements of God in her lifetime in China many, many years ago. And she stood before our class of ministers at Southwestern Seminary and said, "Young men, no matter how many sermons you preach, no matter how many prayers you pray, if there is any unconfessed sin in your life, God will not use any of you." And I thought, oh my goodness, what do you... She said, "Then I want you to go home and take a pad and a pen, ask the Lord to begin to speak to you, and make a sin list." That's what she called it. Make a sin list. Let the Holy Spirit show you what needs to be clean in your life.
Amen.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Let's be transparent,
yes.
enough,
mm-hmm.
and willing enough, mm-hmm. and courageous enough, and trust Jesus enough.
Amen.
He loves us.
Yes.
He's not trying to condemn us. He loves us. He wants us to walk in this freedom and power of the resurrected Christ.
You know, I call it pruning, like you would prune a rose or anything else. And you pluck off all the bad stuff so that you can bear much fruit for the kingdom. Everybody says, oh, I want to take this city. I want to take the nation. Now, you need to take yourself one day at a time for the Lord. And if you can take yourself, if you can be honest with yourself enough to get the help that you need, then maybe we can talk about taking the family and then taking the church and then taking a nation. And we're going to be pressing and purposing that, Dr. Randall, until Jesus returns.
That's it. That's it. I've spent over 30 years going from church to church in revival meetings, crusades, tent revivals. Okay, that's been how I have poured out my life. And I have done it because I believe that maybe the next town, the fire of God would fall. Maybe the next place, that next church. It didn't happen here. It didn't happen last year, but maybe the next time. I so believe that God could do what he did of old, that I would go to the next place and the next place and the next place. And I want to tell you, yes, we saw many saved, but I never saw the fire of God fall like I longed to see, like I read it in books, like I heard about it through my father and grandfather in days of old. And I was in a little church not long ago, and the Lord told me, please hear my heart. He told me why all these years I had not seen. And I don't want to just put a huge broad stroke. I understand. God, listen, I love the people of God. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to condemn anyone. Mm-hmm. Okay? I had to get cleaned up. It was as much about me as it was my son mm-hmm. when the enemy came mm-hmm. to destroy him. Mm-hmm. Please mm-hmm. hear my heart. The mm-hmm. Lord showed me mm-hmm. that he had not been welcomed in our churches.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back because I have a sort of arrow in my spirit. Earlier you were talking about when we were talking about the way of the world from the 50s to now, and you were talking about your dad would never have believed that Mitt Romney or Barack Obama. I just want to say this to my listeners. Grace, I'm praying for Mitt Romney. I'm praying for our president.
Amen.
We're not saying anything against these individuals as individuals. I don't want anyone to be offended by that statement. What we're saying is the signs of the times. Back in the 50s, having a black president was a dream. And I'm sure that people of the Mormon faith might have felt the same way. But we are all under grace, and we are all in this battle together. And it is my desire, by grace, that these two men will come into a deep faith with Jesus, just like people prayed for me. We have to pray for our presidents, and we have to pray for those who want to be president and all people that are in authority, not just the president, Dr. Randall, but I'm talking about pastors and evangelists and teachers and especially mothers and fathers in the home.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. Richard Owen Roberts made a statement I heard him say some years back. He said that the Lord has saved us. He read the passage in Hebrews, from dead works to serve the living God. What's a dead work, he said? What is a dead work? It's anything Holy Spirit can't use. Our issue is not a political issue. It's a spiritual issue.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Did you get that, listeners?
It's not about Democrats and Republicans.
That's right.
It's not about Baptists or Methodists.
Right. That's right.
Our issue, our healing only comes from the Lord Jesus.
From the Lord.
And anything else that we are doing or any dollar that we spend for any other purpose but for what Christ can use is a dead work.
Now, I want to ask you something, personal between me and you and all the listeners out there. I've had many women and guys, young guys, you know, come to me and want counsel. What do you do when you see the spiritual warfare on the head of the family, on the father figure, and he's opening up the door and he's saying, come on in, do whatever you want, because he is so lost and he's been revisited by demonic activity that he's he can no longer lead Dr. Randall. And it's like when the enemy comes in and takes the strong, the authority person, the father, the husband, what does the wife and the children do? And when this goes on and he doesn't get any help, you know, these kids are leaving home, they're growing up, and they're becoming men.
Yes.
The daughters are becoming women.
The sins of the fathers visits the generations to the third and fourth generations. That's a whole nother program. We won't get into that today. But let me simply say to you, the enemy misses no opportunity.
Hmm.
No opportunity. So I would simply say to you, we need to pray for our men. We need to pray. You know, the scriptures even tells us that if a wife has an unbelieving husband, that she is to submit not just to him, yes, but as unto the Lord. And as he sees her walk with Jesus, the Lord will use that to change him. Once again, my sweet sister, I want you to know, I want our listeners to know, the issue that is our issue of today is not a social matter. It's a spiritual matter.
Yes.
We need to invite Jesus.
Yes.
To rule in our lives. That's one person at a time.
One person.
I can't do it for you.
That's right.
You can't do it for me.
That's
we can
right.
pray for each other.
That's right.
But we need to invite Jesus to rule over every area of our life.
Well, you know what? We're almost out of time, but I want you to talk about your wonderful conference that's coming up in May, the end of this month. Can you tell us about that?
I'm so excited. We are having our next Invisible War conference at the Plano Center in Plano, Texas. I want to encourage you to come. We are team teaching this conference with my son. My children are leading the worship. They are awesome. Each of them is a magnificent worship leader in their own right, but together they're something special. We are team teaching with Dr. Norman Code.
Yes.
Dr. Code learned his warfare in Africa and now has a wonderful counseling center in Burleson, Texas. You know him well.
Yes, I do.
And so I want to encourage all of your listeners, go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org. That's theinvisiblewar.org. Click on the registration prompt, and all the details are there for you. You can register today. That's Saturday, May 26th. That's just this next coming Saturday.
Okay.
At the Plano Center.
Okay.
In Plano, Texas.
Could you please give us a scripture to close out with?
I want to remind all of us, please hear the word. Would you hear it with your heart?
Thank you, Jesus.
It was for freedom.
Thank
Christ
you,
came to set us free.
Thank you.
It was for freedom.
Thank
Christ
you.
Came to set us free.
Yes.
I want to encourage you, do not settle for anything less than the freedom that Jesus bought for you at Calvary.
Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to Vine Life Connection. Dr. Randall, it was an honor. And we didn't get finished again, so I'm going to have them back on soon. But to all of you guys out there, remember, stay connected to the true vine in Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life Connection. For more information about the Invisible War with Dr. Rob Randall, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program was brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.